Welcome to this Market Commentator podcast. It is MoneyWeb's weekly podcast where I speak to leading investment professionals. The guest today is Joseph Boucher. He is the head of J.M. Boucher Investments. Joseph, welcome to the show. Tell us a bit more about J.M. Boucher Investments. You seem to have been flying below the radar, although the firm has been founded in 2000. What have you been up to and where are you going?
Thank you so much for the invitation and good afternoon to the listeners. Certainly, J.M. Boucher has been running for 15 years now with the oldest of the black asset managers in South Africa. We set the business before your financial service charter, your BEE codes and so on. One of the key issues really we want to do is to say, how do we come and add value, in particular, look at products that promotes financial inclusion in terms of the whole South Africa. So basically where we're going is to be the leader in terms of providing financial services, in particular products, to both formerly employed people and unemployed people, because we believe that's the only way to bridge the gap between the rich and the poor from an equality perspective if our products are designed to be accessible to many people.
Who are your typical clients?
Well, currently our typical clients, I mean, we've got about 5.6 billion assets under management. It's been mainly institutional or corporates. And in 2006, we launched our first retail product, which is a unit trust. And we're looking, obviously, to expand that. So that product really was just geared towards anything. You can be a vendor, you can be a self-employed person. So our target market is any individual or families in South Africa that want to create wealth.
We will speak about that retail fund a bit later, but your core business at the moment is asset management on behalf of corporates and the PIC.
Very true. I think, you know, in terms of just general, you know, we take the retirement fund industry or institutional clients are our target. So that has been more like the business over the last 15 years or so. What we're focusing now, or as a second layer of development, is obviously the retail sector. For example, we're looking to launch a Sharia compliant fund that certainly targets you know, Islamic finance, you know, people who follow Islamic financing principles. So certainly we're trying to broaden our scope, and as I said, try to target the men in the street so that, you know, they get access to financial services.
We see many niche asset managers launching and or going the listing route, and we've seen several of those companies doing actually fantastically well. But there is a lot of competition. How do you position Boucher Investments within that environment? Do you foresee a consolidation at one stage?
No, certainly. I think if you look at the markets are very, very difficult. I mean, there's no growth globally. And certainly that's going to, and also unemployment. You know, as more people get unemployed, it means that retirement funds have to pay out, which means, you know, they have to draw those monies from money managers or asset managers. So there might be consolidation, but as you put it, you know, recently we've had good listings. Signia is a recent one that have listened. They've done fantastic. I think the businesses that are going to survive are those that are going to make sure that their products remain relevant to people, are appropriate, relevant, and well priced. And performance, obviously, is one of those key issues that has to stay consistent. So for us, I think as a business, I don't think we're going to list anytime soon. But what we want to do is to make sure that within the South African context, within the regional content in terms of SADC, we want every family to be aware of J.M. Boucher Investment Group. We want at least possibly one member in each family to invest with us. No, we just launching our insurance, long-term insurance products right now, which we believe will be possibly the cheapest products in South Africa, and hence to be able to make sure that, you know, people have got both access to risk benefits or products and investment products as well.
If you look at the niche asset managers, obviously you are an empowered financial manager and asset manager. If you look for business, does that count? There seems to be very few niche black-owned companies around. There are a few. How do you position yourself? Obviously, it is an advantage to get, for example, assets to manage from the big corporates.
I agree with you. From a corporate perspective and compliance with the big codes, I think companies are seeking to get services or procure services from empowered companies. But if you look in terms of South Africa right now, you could say almost including the bigger institutions, Sanlam and so on, those also say they are empowered because they've got BEE partners around them. But I think if you look in terms of the revised codes and what government is looking at, certainly there are different aspects in terms of ownership, in terms of management, your procurement policies and so on. It does augur well for small businesses or black-owned businesses to enter into the market, because certainly you score some few points. But nonetheless, I think it's important to make sure that those businesses are run very well, professionally, compliance issues you have to seek into, and corporate governance issues. So some of those issues obviously are very difficult and onerous, as you know, that regulation is becoming quite strict and tough and is costly. But certainly it does give an advantage to African-owned business in terms of knocking the doors. But other than that, you still need to be able to perform and make sure that the business is run efficiently.
Let's talk about markets. We are currently seeing very interesting developments on the markets. We see a lot of volatility. If you take a bird's eye view, you ascend to just slightly, below the moon, and you look down at the South African market and you look down at the international markets, what is your perception of what is going on?
Well, in the short, medium term, I think the loss of volatility, I think we've seen what the rand is doing, massive swings between 13, say 20 to 14. So certainly, I think there's a hell lot of uncertainty in terms of what is happening. Now, the problem with us as a country is that we really depend much on America and China. So American policies will drive global policies. And for the past 6 months, we've been waiting to see what the Fed will do in terms of interest rates. So now it's almost clearer now that at least in the next 3 to 6 months, they're likely to increase the U.S. policy rate in America. So some people are looking, obviously, in terms of this December, that will be the first increase since, I think, 2006. So that has been quite long period of no interest rates increase or almost near zero interest rates. You have seen how obviously our market have responded to the last comments from Ms. Yellen from Fed, that our bonds have picked up possibly about 20 basis points, and the rand also have weakened. So there is a little bit of a jittery. China did devalue its currency twice in 2 days last month. So also the growth prospects, people are saying, are we going to get the 7%? Anything under 7, people are saying there's a problem in China.
But if you look at especially the rand, who's taken a massive beating over the last year, obviously in dollar terms, the returns on the JSE has diminished. Do you think it still should be the investment destination of choice for local asset managers?
Well, the challenge is really in terms of the JSE. So this time we're not benefiting from the rand weakness because the commodity prices are low, and that used to drive the JSE. Currently, the resource sector is basically the lowest in terms of weighting. It used to constitute the biggest weight in terms of the listings. So most of those shares have taken a massive beating. I mean, you've seen Lonmin, Impala, Anglo-Platt, Anglo-American, Billis. So all those companies have been really under pressure. And it does not look like the resource sector is going to turn anytime soon. There is opportunities, or there are opportunities within the JSE, but now it's time for stock picking rather than to look at the market broadly. Naspers has been the mainstay for us. I think Mondi also have done fantastic. So certainly, I think, there are challenges. But, investors need now to be careful given the fact that we're not quite sure. If rates start moving up, it means then people might start shifting their money from equities into fixed income. So it's almost a wait and see game, but you need to be able to pick quality stocks you believe that in all the different economic environments they'll be able to pull through.
As you said, it's a stock-picking market. What stocks are you picking right now?
Well, we believe, you know, your mainstay, although I think it's now quite expensive, Naspers at 2,100, it is quite expensive. The target price, people are putting it at 2,600. But I think for me, the key issue about Naspers is that it basically relies on Tencent. Now, if there are any regulatory changes in China from the gaming business or online advertising and just the real, just e-commerce in general, obviously we'll be able to see. But certainly up to now, the momentum is on Naspers. I think Mondi is doing very well. Steinhoff, Richemont, those are, I think, companies that have held very well in these tough conditions.
If we look at your real return fund, it's actually quite small. It's about 20 million rand under management. Is that growing?
It is growing slowly. I think it is actually, we started picking up good clients. The reason why it is small is because the minimum amount investors can invest in is about 300 rand. Actually, we used to say the minimum is 100 rand. So for it to grow, which is different from an institutional where we say the minimum must be 10 million. But for individuals, if you put the minimum at 100, certainly it will take long to grow, because to just get a million, you need almost 1,000 individuals to invest in that. But the real issue there is to say, how do we make, obviously, some of the products we offer to our institutional clients available for the retail our clients? So it will take long, but I think, you know, the momentum is going to come through, and we believe next year, I think we should be able to grow it quite rapidly.
Your benchmark is the inflation rate plus 4% percentage points. Is that not a bit conservative?
It is conservative, but I think we're almost actually in the middle. There are some people who are offering inflation plus 2, inflation plus 3. So you've got mandates that are actually inflation plus 2. Now, when you look to inflation plus 2, you're saying, I want a real return of 2% above, you know, your normal prices increases. So I think for inflation in terms of plus 4, seeking a real return of 4%, I think it's very average and attractive in terms of being in the midterm. But also, if you look in terms of the central bank inflation targeting policy, is between 3 and 6%. So what we've decided to do is obviously to say, for that fund, you need to be in the middle, because you want to manage the risk so that, you know, your individuals do not lose money.
According to your fact sheet, you have actually beaten that benchmark quite consistently since inception. Is there a lot of pressure? Do you feel the pressure to keep beating the benchmark?
The individual market is very tough. I can promise you that. You know, individuals want to see, it's like a bank account. You want to see what's your balance every time. So certainly there is pressure, in particular these days, that, you know, you need to make sure that you keep the capital and you grow it above cash. Our cash returns, currently you're sitting at about 6-7% over 1 year. And if you want to then generate an alpha, you have to make sure that you beat cash at least. So certainly, I think, as you put it, you know, there are possibly 3 or 4 shares that are holding the JSE, the market. So if you don't have Naspers, you're going to battle. And if you have been invested heavily in resources, the turnaround for the resource sector does look very long.
Yeah. Do you hold Naspers in your fact sheet? It's not one of the top holdings.
No, Naspers, actually, we had offloaded in this fund. It's not the top holdings. It is in the top 10, but I think obviously on that fact sheet, I think we're only showing about your top 5 shares.
In the fact sheet, it shows your asset allocation is about 50% equities and 50% cash, mostly bonds. Let's talk about bonds and the fixed income. Obviously, the market is quite high, and US interest rate may put pressure on the upside of the JSE. What bonds are you looking at, and what bonds do you think will perform better than others?
Well, this is a medium risk fund, and you actually correct in terms of the balance. You can see the balance is almost 50-50 between equities. The higher the risk, the higher the returns. But certainly, fixed income does does give you a little bit of certainty to some extent. You can still lose money, but there is obviously your guaranteed coupons. You know, if bonds will give you, or money market will give you interest, which is almost certain, unless if obviously the business goes bankrupt. So if the rates go up, we're going to obviously take a little bit of a knock from an fixed income perspective, in the sense that you lose your capital. But we heavily invested in the parastatal bonds, which we believe are government guaranteed, also in inflation-linked bonds, which then guarantees at least that the fund will grow in line with inflation.
What parastatal bonds do you hold?
Transnet's quality bonds. I think if you look at Transnet, those are good. Eskom, I think government will always support Eskom. If we don't have Eskom, we don't have any industry. So you can almost say, you know what, nobody's going to let Eskom go. We also have SANRO, you know, the roads agents bonds. So you get quite good credit. You would pick up on that because, you know, after the Etos Agard didn't go well, you know, some of those bonds might have shot up a little bit of some more points, but it's still a government-owned operation.
Thank you, Joseph. That was Joshua Bushwa. He is the head of JM Bushwa Investments.